Welcome to the Blog A podcast, featuring interviews with industry professionals in the business of creating online media and promotional tips that will help you succeed in generating buzz online. I'm your host, Mayanna Stevenson, and the creator of BlogAid. Be sure to check out the website at blogaid.net for more podcasts, free downloads, video tutorials, WordPress training, and site consulting. We hope you enjoy this podcast and feel free to share it with your friends. Hello, I'm Mayanna, your host for the Blog A podcast, and I'm delighted to have Eileen Smith of Basic Blog Tips here with us. Hi, Eileen.
Hi, Mayanna, and hi, everyone out there. So glad to be here with you today.
Miss Eileen, you are a walking, talking encyclopedia of helpful information, but today we're just going to pare down to dive into two super topics where I found so much great help from you, and that's Scoop It and YouTube. But first, I want you to share a little bit about yourself for our listeners and how you started blogging and your journey to creating Basic Blog Tips site.
Okay, well, I started blogging back in 2009, and actually it was a mistake. My daughter had a blog. My daughter's Nikki, and she had a blog on WordPress.com way back then, and I said, oh, she's blogging. And it's funny because even though I've worked in the publishing industry for years, I never knew anything about RSS feeds and all of that. So I said, oh, my daughter's got a blog. I must subscribe to her blog. Mm-hmm. So I went about, you know, to WordPress.com, and I thought, okay, I have to fill in this, and I'm filling in this, that, and the other. And the next thing I know, I was like, I got a blog. I wasn't trying to sign up for a blog. I was trying to subscribe, but I didn't know how to do it. Signed up for a blog, and that's the story. And once I got my own blog, I just couldn't help it. I was just writing about all kinds of topics and anything and everything that I wanted to write about. And during that process, I was trying to learn how to use WordPress.com. And back then they didn't have like an organized set of tutorials. You would have to go onto the support desk all the time and ask questions. So I started writing my own tutorials, basically teaching myself. And then I thought, well, other people are probably frustrated with this whole nonsense as well. And that's how I got into writing tutorials. Mm-hmm. And then I started doing YouTube videos. So in 2010 is when I launched Basic Blog Tips.
I am telling you, it's just an encyclopedia. I follow you. I have found you everywhere. You are, if it's out there, if it can be shared, you're in it, you're doing it, you're having fun with it. And I think that's one of the things that sets you apart from a lot of folks. You're a real connector. I mean, you connect people up, you share stuff from everybody, everywhere. It's not about just the stuff that you put out that's helpful. It's everybody that you find, all the connections that you make, too.
Yeah, I really appreciate you for saying that because, yeah, I do. And I try. Another thing that I try to do, and I'm not saying that everybody should do this, I try not to share the same stuff all over the place. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of people hook up these RSS feeds. I'm an RSS expert now, right?
Right.
Didn't know a thing about it before. But anyway, they hook up feeds and, you know, they're feeding the same post to Facebook that they're feeding to Twitter, that they're trying to feed to Google Plus somehow. And, you know, it's just like, well, if somebody's following you in more than one place, they're getting the same information all the time. Who wants that? So I intentionally, now there's times when I may share the same thing, especially if it's something big. But most of the time, I will not share the same type of content. And it's interesting, too, because different formats and different networks are much more receptive to different types of content. I remember the first time I posted something on Google Plus about Facebook. It was like they were throwing tomatoes at me. They were like, who cares? Well, I learned that lesson real quick.
No kidding. Yeah. No kidding. And now it's not that big of a deal. I mean, I'm on a huge campaign to get everybody I know onto Google Plus because of all the hooey that's going on with Facebook. And you know, I think it's a win-win for everybody because Google Plus has all these wonderful things to it. And, you know, that's going to be another podcast. We're going to have to table that because there's so much going on with that. But I want to dive into Scoop It right quick. Because of you putting up stuff in all kinds of different places, I found your podcast Scoop It page and went bonkers because at the time I was revising the Blog Aid podcast. I'd done it for a while, gotten out of it, had focused more on video tutorials for YouTube and that kind of thing, and I wanted to get back into podcasting because audio is really hot right now, especially with people on the go. It's something they can take with them. And, you know, the stuff that you had posted there was so extraordinarily helpful. In fact, I follow some of the people that you put on Scoop It, and I saw it on your site first, on your page first.
Wonderful.
So tell us about Scoop It. I'm just totally interested in how you do this.
Well, let's start with a little bit about content curation, because people need to start realizing what a vital tool that is. And this is one of the reasons why I'm able to share different information on different platforms, because I'm curating content, and the Scoop It platform is excellent for that. Because number one, the people that are on there, it's like a community, and that the people that are on there, there are some people there that do nothing but curate others' content. And let's not get make a mistake with confusing what some people are doing, which is content scraping, with curation. And what really sets them apart is that curation, first of all, always gives back credit to the original author. And you can, if you want, or if when necessary, add your own take to whatever it is that you've curated. Of course, it's going to give you more than, you know, just your 140 characters that you would get on Twitter. And Scoop It has the most beautiful layout that is sort of, if you can think of the best of Pinterest combined with sort of the best of Google Plus, because you have that conversation going, you have as much of the content as you want to show, your own commentary, but just the gorgeous boards that are reminiscent of Pinterest, but of course, in my mind, so much better.
Yeah, and they look a little bit like the Google app, too.
Okay.
Not the Google mobile version or what you see on the desktop, but the app.
Okay.
And it really is a beautiful layout. It's a great way to see everything. But I want to go back to something you said about content curation because it's so important. We are absolutely bombarded with information. And having somebody that I trust as a sorter to tell me what's good and what's bad, you know, to look at all of it. I do that with Tips Tuesday as well and give my own take on it. But that's why I follow you so religiously on these pages, because Scoop It, with Scoop It, I think you can do by topic. Is that correct?
Yes. What they give you 5 slots for your free, you can upgrade, but with the free account, you get 5 topic pages. Okay, so each one of your topic pages, you know, has a unique URL, and I decided that I wanted to use the topics of basic blog tips, which is the name of my blog, and there is where I curate anytime someone mentions me or mentions my blog. So I also do brand monitoring. That's another reason why I recommend Scoop It, because you can monitor your own brand that way as well.
Ooh.
Okay. And then I do the podcast, as you mentioned. I also have YouTube. Then I started one on blogging contests, and I thought that would be a fun one to have. And anytime somebody's having contests, I could promote their contest that way, because I think a lot of bloggers struggle with making money, you know, when they, especially in the beginning. So blogging contests has always been near and dear to my heart, because that's the first time I ever made money online, was through a contest.
So cool.
That's why I decided to have that topic. And the other one is more related to what I do in my day job, which is STEM, which stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. So, so you have those, you get those 5 free topic pages. And what will happen is, as you're curating your content there, you also have the opportunity to share it with other networks and on other blogs or microblogs. Like, for example, I have a Tumblr blog. But my Tumblr blog consists of nothing but my curated content from my Scuba page. Mm-hmm. And it actually, what I do is I'm curating the stuff from the YouTube page and from the podcasting page onto my Tumblr. But you can hook it up with Blogger. You can even hook up a WordPress blog, and I'm not talking WordPress.com. You can do both.
Right.
You know, you can use it to spread your stuff on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and LinkedIn groups. And now that they have integrated with Buffer, which is just fantastic for me because I have several accounts with Buffer. Anybody that is not familiar with Buffer, it allows you to buffer your tweets so that, like, if I'm sitting there curating content, let's say I'm running through my YouTube stuff, mm-hmm. and I see like 10 YouTube articles that are like just so dynamite. Of course, I don't want to share them all at one time. So with the Buffer integration, I can just send that to Buffer, and then they'll go out at the times that I have set up within my Buffer. So Scoop.it is such a fantastic platform that is just, I could go on and on about it all day long.
And we want you to. I mean, my head is spinning here with all of the different ways that you can use this because you need to automate some things in your life. There's just no way to manually be there. And what I'm hearing from you is you can sit down, curate the content, but meter it out in a way that's not overwhelming to folks, to all these other networks.
Two more things I want to point out about Scoop.it because I want to take it back a step.
Okay.
Not only do you're just on the internet finding things and you say, oh, I'm going to put that on my podcasting Scoop.it page. You also have a section in Scoop.it where you've told it keywords that you want Scoop.it to search the web for. And they will search through Twitter. They'll search through Google Plus. They will search Google Blog Search, which is basically just like searching Google.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think there's a couple of other things. Or you can put in an RSS feed. Let's just say you're a big Mashable fan or a TechCrunch. You could put their RSS feed in there, but then you would just search for whenever they write about podcasting or whatever your topic is. So there's a section in there that's called curate. So you would curate that topic. So you'll go through and Scoop.it will have like a page of about maybe 20, 25 articles. And you look at it and say, no, yeah, oh, yeah, Scoop that one. Or, you know, maybe you just decide, oh, I'll just share this on Twitter. I don't even want it on my Scoop.it page. So this is the way that you also have content at the ready when you do want to write a blog post, when you're not sure, what should I write? You go to your own Scoop.it page and say, what's everybody been talking about YouTube?
Oh, so you can see all the trends that are happening with things and whatever is hot from no matter where
exactly.
It's coming from. Man, that's great because I go through in my RSS feed, I subscribe to 100 to 120 blogs that I have to go through, and that's very time intensive. And that's just the ones that I subscribe to. I may be missing really good articles somewhere else, and this thing basically monitors that.
Yep, and you can do a search on Scoop.it. You know, you also can follow other people's topic pages. So let's say you follow 10 people. When you go to the Scoop.it homepage, you're going to see a conglomeration of everything that those 10 people have scooped. So, of course, I don't have my own social media topic, so I'm following quite a few people that have some really fantastic social media boards. You know, social media for business, you know, the hottest things on Twitter, Facebook, or whatever it is. And so I see that when I go to the Scoop.it homepage. So Scoop.it is about the best thing you can do right now, especially if you're new. The one thing that you need to do is read blogs.
Absolutely.
If you start blogging, you need to visit other blogs and leave comments. This builds up your writing skills and your writing style. So the great way to do that, especially when you don't know anybody because you just started, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is how you build your own community. You build your own relationships with people. So you can use Scoop.it as a tool to do that. And it's easy, and it also lets you share to all your favorite things. Just say you are a Pinterest person, you know, and Pinterest is just kind of like something that you may be able to build up a little bit of your own SEO with Pinterest, but you might just want to use Pinterest for fun. Okay?
Right.
That's okay. You can send stuff from Scoop.it to Pinterest. Stumble Upon. You name it. There's really not much that you cannot do with Scoop.it. So I can't say enough about them.
And now, do you have specific, just to let everybody know, do each one of your five topic pages have their own URL so you could advertise that to follow you for, say, like podcast or YouTube? That's way cool.
Whenever you set up a topic page, it gets its own URL. And the URL is just based on what the name of your page is. So, for example, someone else had already taken podcasting, so mine is just podcasts.
Gotcha.
So everybody has a unique URL for their Scoop.it page.
Wow, that is so really cool because my head is just spinning with all the marketing opportunities besides monitoring for yourself. But community, I do want to back up and catch something that you said there with relationship marketing because that's really what it is these days.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and there are some people that, you know, they'll retweet you and you'll see it and it's, oh, this person is following my Scoop.it board. They're re-scooping the stuff onto their boards and they're retweeting me.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely need to connect with that person. I need to go over to their board and see what they're doing. And the one other thing that helps with the community is you can suggest content to any of the other boards that you're following. So like I mentioned, I don't have my own social media board, but I'm a big social media person, okay? So I can suggest content to someone who I've met. I don't know them at all, but I've met them through Scoop.it because they've been scooping my stuff or whatever. And I can suggest something, and they don't have to accept it if they don't want to. Maybe they've already scooped it before. Who knows? But that's the other way that the community aspect starts to build up.
Well, tell me about etiquette with that then. Does anybody suggest their own stuff?
Yes, you can scoop your own stuff if you want.
Do people frown on that, or is that cool, or is that the way to spread the word on yourself?
It's cool, but it's the same way as it is on Twitter or any other social network. When you're always constantly sharing your own stuff, who's going to follow you? You know, maybe you won't get that many people following your board, but that's okay because maybe you just want to use that board just to build up some backlinks because it will give you backlinks.
Okay.
Okay. So, but if you want to always be a giver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though I have a board that's about basic blog tips, what I'm scooping on there is articles from other people's blogs and other sites.
Yeah, like I said, I've read things from you because I follow you so religiously in so many places that I actually catch things from you that I don't even see from the other people, yet. So I'll see it from you first sometimes.
Yeah, and sometimes I'm seeing those things come through Google Alerts.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes when people write about you, of course, they'll say, you know, tweet you on Twitter and say, oh, I just mentioned you in my post. Or I use the Scoop.it curation feature, and I'm searching for my name, and luckily my name is spelled differently. Just for those who don't know, it's ILEANE. And so there's not that many Eileens out there, and when they, the few of them that are, you know, it's easy. Right away I'll be able to spot them. Oh, that's the one that writes for Reader's Digest or whatever.
Right.
You know, and Mayanna, you could probably do the same
thing. Oh, absolutely. You know? Yeah, with a name like Mayanna, yeah, no, there's not too much. Although it is a word in Arabic, and I don't know what it is.
Oh, you don't.
So I have seen some. So I get that too. I see that show up in alerts too, especially on Twitter,
okay.
Because they're using it in a sentence. I have no earthly idea what it means.
Uh-huh.
But that is the coolest stuff. You know, I'm sold. That's it. I mean, I had no idea. I saw all the helpful stuff that you're putting on Scoobit, but had no idea that it was this useful. Now, with Google checking into your rank and stuff on your social media sites, does Scoobit, is that in that mix yet? I know they're checking to see about your engagement on Facebook and, of course, Google+.
Well, I think indirectly. And one of the things I think that really got my attention on Scoobit is when I went into Google Webmaster Tools and I saw all those links. Mm-hmm. And I think back at the time, maybe months ago, they were maybe the number 3 or 4 website that was sending me links. And at this point now, it's number 1. Because other people are scooping and re-scooping my stuff. So
that's huge. I mean, that is really huge.
It's huge. So it's a signal to Google. And because it's hooked up with all those other microblogging platforms and blogging platforms and social media, it's going to also wind up being a signal from Google as well. I was very fortunate. Because they saw me writing about Scoobit, they contacted me. The people at Scoobit contacted me. I have developed a great relationship with those guys over there. And so they featured me as one of the, you know, top Scoobit people. And they did an interview with me and wrote up like 3 or 4 blog posts about the way I use Scoobit and how I've been curating content. So that definitely helped.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, when you get a backlink from a site that's like that, oh, yeah.
And another thing I'm glad you mentioned, because this I almost forgot about this. They have a Scoobit chat. And it may be on a little hiatus because of the holidays and shopping and everything. But I think it's on Wednesdays or Thursdays. I'll find out. And send you information. They do a chat on Twitter. And when the chat is done, she, Allie is the girl from Scoobit. She uses Storify, actually, to take the Twitter chat and put it into a blog post on the Scoobit blog.
Oh, fun. There's just so many different ways you can integrate this stuff to make it fun like
that.
Yes. So that's great.
There's your, you know, there's another boost for anybody who participates in the Scoobit chat. You know, their Twitter is all going to get linked on that chat.
Oh, that's so cool. Now, listen, speaking of you being featured, you're also the Comment Love Ambassador these days, too, right?
Oh, wow. Isn't that an amazing feat? I don't even know how I did that.
Well, you just me and you, Miss Eileen. That's all there is to it.
Andy knows that I've always been a great supporter of Comment Love. I've always been writing about it and bragging about it, and I did a few guest posts on his blog, and so he and I had a pretty good relationship. So when he came to me and asked if, you know, what I thought about the idea of being the Comment Love Ambassador, I never blinked an eye.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even say, you know, what's in it for me or any of that. I was like, okay, where do I sign up?
Right. And I'll tell you, you were the tipping point for me because Chrissy Hines, you know, she's all over Comment Love, right?
Yeah.
And then Denise Waitman switched over. And then when I saw your post on everything you were saying, I said, that's it. I got to have this. I just got to have it.
That's it. I'm glad you had it.
Well, and you also have a blog that if you just tweet it or let people know that there's a post there with a list of blogs. It's a list of lists. It's what it is of Comment Love blogs. And I think that's just fantastic. I'm going to be on there shortly.
Well, yeah, what happened is I'm a big stats person, and I'm always monitoring to see where my traffic is coming from. And as I mentioned before, Google Webmaster Tools, Google Analytics, and so forth. And I would see, you know, on a daily basis, traffic coming from these lists. Now, this was before Andy even mentioned to me about being the ambassador. And I thought, let me, you know, go at least over to this Comment Love list, leave a comment, tell the person thank you. And after a while, there were so many of them, I couldn't keep track. Because my blog right now is a page rank 5. So I would always appear toward the top of those lists. So anybody who was looking for Comment Love blogs to comment on would always get to my blog because I'd be like the fifth within the top five or the top 10 on anybody's list. So I would see, you know, this was already in the back of my mind. So when Andy and I started with the ambassadorship, I said, you know, Andy, one day I'm just going to make a list of lists. And so I did it. And it's funny because people come and they're so used to seeing comment love lists that they'll leave me a comment. And they'll say, oh, thanks for the list. Can you please add my blog? And I, if you ever go to that post, you'll see that at least 10 people have, and I have to say, no, because this isn't a list of blogs. It's a list of lists.
Right. And I'm definitely going to, I love it. I go there and look because I always find great blogs to follow. And so that's super.
And, you know, I got one more thing that I want to say about comment love blogs. And I talked about it earlier when I mentioned commenting and how important it is to do commenting on blogs. A lot of people are not using comment love. That's fine. But why not get a little bit extra boost out of your commenting by also commenting on a blog with comment love, and it gives you a link back. And believe me, if your post is related to that topic, the post that you've decided to link to is related to that topic, more than likely you will get people clicking on your post and coming over to your blog. I've done it. And when we talk about YouTube later on, I'll tell you about how I do that with YouTube as well.
Yeah, I do the same thing, and it's a wonderful way to build up relationships.
Yes.
With folks is commenting on the blog and not just saying, hey, thanks, great post.
Right. Oh, yeah, you have to write something. You have to offer your own experience or your own take. You know, give some value where somebody would say, hey, I like what that person had to say, or that sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. And then they'll come over to your blog, and that's also going to help you get your comment approved because, you know, we don't want people that have comment love on their blog, they don't want people that are just there. I'm only here to get a link, so I'm just going to say, hey, this is great. Thanks.
Right.
That doesn't work.
Exactly. Don't abuse it. I mean, make good use of it because you want to build up relationships with these blog owners, too.
Exactly.
And come back and comment again, you know, if it's something that you like. Speaking of being featured, you're about to be featured on something with Social Media Examiner, too, aren't you?
Yes. Oh, my God. Man, Anna, I was just totally floored when they came and asked me. Social Media Examiner is holding something that's called the Content Success Summit 2013, and it starts in February. And actually, the talk that I'm giving is on podcasting. And it's going to be on Valentine's Day, so you won't forget. And you can get a sample class from Mike Stelzner. If everybody who's familiar with Social Media Examiner knows that Mike Stelzner is the CEO. And, of course, they're going to have a lot of other wonderful people there, too. Pat Flynn, Amy Porterfield, Marcus Sheridan, the sales lion, and Michael Hyatt. You know, so it's just a fantastic lineup, and I'm so thrilled to be part of that lineup. And just so I can give you my link for that, it will be basicblogtips.com/CSS13.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to remind all the Blog Aid podcast listeners that links for everything that we're talking about here on the show will be in the show notes on the site, too. So be sure to go there because I know you're going to want to go follow Miss Eileen at this point. Now, you'd be crazy not to. I mean, listen to that stellar cast of people you were just mentioning. I mean, this is the who's who of the online world. And you're standing in the same line with these folks. So I'm telling all of my listeners now, you must be following Eileen Smith, you know. So you're a treasure.
Thank
you are an absolute treasure.
I enjoy talking to you.
Oh, let's jump over to YouTube because the changes have been insane and you've been right on the top of this. And there's so much wonderful marketing stuff that's going on with YouTube that you definitely need to be taking advantage of right now.
Okay. Well, you already know this, Mayanna, but I'm going to share this with everybody. And this is a shout out that I must give. And this is my friend who keeps me and everybody else on top of what's going on with YouTube. And you're going to go over to Google Plus and search for Ronnie, that's R-O-N-N-I-E, Benser, B-I-N-C-E-R. If you want to know about YouTube, you want to know about Google Plus and their integration, which he calls GoobTube. Okay, you're going to follow Ronnie Benser because he is he's just on top of all of this stuff. So that's how I am able to stay on top of it because I follow him. And he's on Scoop It, too.
Oh, I know. And the dude just lives, eats, breathes, thinks this, dreams it all the time.
Yes, he does.
And that's practically what it takes to keep up with these changes because it's like every week.
So I have another little announcement to make. And that is that yesterday I crossed 1,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Woohoo! That's great. Man, that is fantastic. And people don't know how hard it is to get those numbers up because when you're getting your first 50, it's like going straight uphill. And it gets easier as you go, but that's a real milestone.
Yes. Oh, gosh. It is something else. And, you know, there's so much competition and, you know, so many people are on YouTube to do other things besides share information and tutorials. You know, there's a lot of entertainers there, of course, and there's a lot of people that just are into comedy. They want to make you laugh and all that stuff. So to just to have a YouTube channel, and of course, Mayanna knows this, that's based on tutorials and teaching people stuff when it's already hard enough to get people's attention, even on your blog. But in the sea of everything that's going on YouTube, it's a great accomplishment, and I've really, really worked hard for it. So I'm so proud of myself.
I am too. Because that, I don't think people who haven't done it really know how hard it is to compete in that kind of medium and stand out in that way and have loyal followers. But, you know, what I have found is that when people find the good stuff, they lock into you and they're there forever. And if you keep putting that out, I am to you, you know, for sure. And your Scoop It pages, I mean, they're bookmarked, honey. I go check that stuff every day.
Okay.
And so I don't want to miss anything.
I think that I found your YouTube channel. I'm not sure if I found your blog first and your YouTube or the other way around, but I must have been searching for something and I found you and I was like, oh, she's a YouTuber. Yay. Because that's how I like to learn.
Well, now, Miss Eileen, I want to ask you about that because, you know, being solopreneurs, there are so many of us that wear 15 different hats and we have to do all the content creation, product creation, marketing, social media, you know, all the different hats that we have to wear. There's only so much time in the day. And all these different platforms that are beneficial for us to be on, and of course YouTube is one for me. But I have to tell you, I think my channel sucks. I really do. The videos are great. But I have spent no time on the platform spiffying it up, doing all the interconnections and that kind of thing, and which is why I'm so locked into following you. But at this point, because I haven't been keeping up with it, I feel so far behind that I actually feel overwhelmed about it. So I want to put something to you. Since you know all that you know about it and you're on top of this with what's going on, would you consider taking Blogaid on as a case study?
Sure, I sure would.
And see about, you know, go in there, check it. Let's maybe, you know, sit down together and look at it together. Tell me what's wrong, what's not working, where I'm behind. Because I know I'm way behind. I'm expecting to hear, Mayanna, we're back in the Stone Age, honey. We need to bring it up. So I'm already prepared for that. I love helpful criticism. I'm good with it. It's like, oh, goody. And let's just go through, make these changes, document it, do a follow-up with everybody to show what the changes needed to be, because I don't mind showing off my own stuff that way.
Okay.
I'm not embarrassed by what I don't know. Yeah, that's the only way you can learn.
Exactly. Wow, I got to tell you, when I first came on YouTube and I started watching tutorials on YouTube, it was Lisa Irby. And a lot of people may be familiar with her. Her blog and her site is To Create a Website. And, I mean, this was early on. Remember I said earlier about when I was on WordPress.com and I was looking for tutorials? I specifically remember Lisa finding her tutorial, and it was WordPress versus Blogger.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking back in 2009. That's how
right,
that's how
right.
long that debate, well, that debate's been going on even longer than that. But but I was just amazed. And I said to myself right then and there, I just got to be like her one day. Of course, I'm nowhere near. I mean, Lisa's probably gets more views in 2 hours than I. Yeah, I'm bragging about 1,000
right.
subscribers. She probably gets 1,000 views on one video, you know. I said
right.
in a couple of hours and comments, let's not. But
oh yeah.
But the idea is the same, okay? We're doing mm-hmm. tutorials, we're making a connection, and man, you do a great job of that. You're making a connection, you're providing information for people. So I'm at your channel right now. So you want to talk about this now?
Oh, well, yeah, we can. Or actually, I want to finish talking about some of the things that you know
okay.
about that,
okay.
and then we can do this as a recording later, maybe video it
That's fine.
As well,
That's
and show off your expertise with it so people can actually see, because I think it's a little abstract
okay.
if they can't see it and they're not actually looking at a channel, or maybe some of these folks don't have a channel yet. And it's kind of like with the Scoop It conversation, I don't have a Scoop It page yet, but you can better believe I'm going to have one now. And I've heard about all these different things that it can do. So I think with YouTube, that's going to be a good idea to show folks.
Okay.
So we can just do that recording. But I want to hear more about what you know about this, especially the latest changes here with integrating. And one thing very, very in particular, you know, Google Plus is wanting us to be real people on here. And now they want your YouTube to not be a brand channel, but wants you to hook it up with your personal channel. Is that, you know, I don't know that that's a good idea for everybody. What do you think about that?
Well, I tell you, I struggled with it for a minute myself, and I thought, how is this going to benefit me? And then what happened is, I don't know if you're this way, but most people probably are. Do you ever go to a blog or a site and there's a pop-up?
Oh, yeah.
I hate pop-ups.
Me too.
Oh, do I hate pop-ups. Well,
I'm sorry they work, but I hate them.
Well, it worked, because what happened was I decided I wasn't going to switch and make my channel my name, but YouTube started showing me a pop-up. And the pop-up just wouldn't go away.
mm-hmm.
And it just, even if you didn't want to combine them, it wanted you to tell them, well, why not? Why don't you want to combine them? And it gave you these choices like, well, I'll do it later, or I have more than one channel, or, you know. And as I was going through all these different options, I realized I couldn't pick one. I really didn't have a real reason for not. I was just being, you know, stubborn. And so I said, okay, what the heck? I'll do it. And so I did it. And what happens is, now when you go to my channel, it will just say Eileen Smith.
Mm-hmm.
The name of my channel, and this is the same name as my podcast, the name of my channel is Miss Eileen Speaks.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, that's my URL. It would be youtube.com/MSIleanespeaks.
Mm-hmm.
Eileen Speaks, okay? And I feared that my URL was going to change. And of course, I've got this URL all over the place.
Right.
You don't have to fear that. Your URL does not change. Now, the decision that people need to make is, how are you branding yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Branding your logo of your business, or are you also trying to brand yourself? Now, Google, I'm sorry, I have to take a step back. Google has gone into this thing with Google Plus, Google authorship, and author rank. They've decided that they want to give people more power than websites, so that people are known as authority, so that it's your body of work that gets the recognition. So if you're a person who writes not just like a guest post on basic blog tips, but let's say you write for Forbes and you write for Wall Street Journal and you write for New York Times and you don't even have a website, or you do, but it's just, you know, like your about page. You can still gain your author rank and your credibility and your authority on Google now.
Okay. Right. Yeah, that was huge when I read that about the author rank, that no matter where you are, you need to hook that up with Google, because when you guest post anywhere, it falls under your body of work.
Okay. So now it's the same thing with your YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's what people need to decide. Do I want to build my authority, or do I want to build my brand's authority?
Well, and let's speak to that, because, you know, yours is Miss Eileen Speaks, which is not far away from Eileen Smith.
Okay.
And so it's not that confusing, but if you look at something like Blogaide compared to Mayanna Stevenson.
Well, Mayanna, it's really just a judgment call, because mm-hmm. eventually, not right now, but maybe in 6 weeks, maybe in 6 months, Google will say you can hook your Google Plus business page up to your YouTube channel.
You know, that's a little confusing to me, to tell you the truth. So because I see, you know, how Facebook has done with their business pages and with their personal profiles. And Google Plus came out with business pages so late, and now they're hooking everything to a person. And I'm beginning to wonder if Google Plus business pages are even all that worthwhile. If it's not more worthwhile just to put everything, hook everything to your personal profile for your author rank. I mean, everything that you've got anywhere in the online world.
There you go. And that's a great philosophy, and that's a great way to look at it. But the thing is, if you do decide to go ahead and change yours the way you have yours now, it's mm-hmm. okay, because if later on you change your mind, let's just say Google Plus business pages take off and they do something like yesterday, they came out with communities. Well, who knew they
right.
were going to do that?
Right, so, right.
So you don't know what they got up their sleeve. So that's okay, because you can change it whenever.
And I think that communities thing is really going to be a game changer.
Oh, it absolutely is.
The only thing that I have found, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
mm-hmm.
you.
That's okay.
The only thing that I have found with it is that it doesn't work well on mobile so far. The difference in, I have an iPad that I just stay on for everything social. I'm rarely ever at my desktop for that. And the mobile version and the app version of Google Plus are completely different. You see completely different lists. It's not just the look. I see completely different posts.
Oh.
And you can't join the communities through the app.
Oh, it's just a matter of time. They especially mm-hmm. and they want to especially address the iPad users and the iPhone users, because they want to make sure that there's no barriers there. Okay.
Oh yeah, it's really awful. I can't even put up a link, you know, using the app and stuff. It's awful.
Okay.
But I wish somebody at Google would borrow an iPad for a day or two, you know, just to see what that's like.
Oh my gosh, I'm glad you said that, because that just reminded me of something, and you may want to check this out. But I guess you don't have a Google Plus business page yet, right?
No, I do have
you
one.
Do
I
have
just
one.
Haven't been. Yeah, I haven't been active on it. I got it as soon as they came out, though.
Okay. This is a great way that you can have some activity, and I kind of got sidetracked from this, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of stepping away from what we're talking about, but it'll all tie back in. Hootsuite,
mm-hmm.
which is my Twitter sharing tool of choice and also my monitoring tool of choice,
mm-hmm.
integrates with your Google Business page, so you can post on Google Plus from Hootsuite.
Woohoo!
Okay, so you just use the Chrome extension. Hopefully you're using Chrome, but if not, I'm sure they have extensions for the other browsers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's how I'm able to find something that is like, okay, well, this is something even totally different. This is more business oriented. So I'll put this out on my Google Plus business page.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Hootsuite has apps. If I'm not sure if people know this or not, but you don't just look at Twitter and Facebook. You can also monitor apps. And one of the apps on Hootsuite is Scoop It.
Oh, cool.
Oh, when stuff, I just love it when a plan works out. And for me, that was just like, oh, thank gosh.
Oh, what a nifty little circle that ended up being.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Now we're back over to YouTube because YouTube also has an app on Hootsuite. So you can monitor your YouTube channel or anybody else's channel right inside of Hootsuite.
Wow.
So, yeah. And so with that Google Plus app, what I did, and I have a video about this because I thought this was so neat when I found out I could do this. From my business page, I created a circle, and there's nobody in that circle except me, my profile.
Mm-hmm.
So because Google Plus is an app on Hootsuite, I just added that circle. So now I can monitor everything that I've posted on Google Plus from Hootsuite if I want. So
wow.
I'm
going
to see if there's a lot of comments or if I just, maybe I just want to look at maybe my last 10 posts and say, what got the most comments or what got the most shares? I look right in Hootsuite. I don't even have to go over to Google Plus.
Oh, man, that's so sweet.
Then I can pop over to Scoop It and to my brand.
Right. And now, Miss Ali, I want to talk about something that has been a theme that you've mentioned here that's very important. I think people forget. It's not just about broadcasting yourself and finding ways to integrate or make it easy for you to broadcast. It's very important for you to make ways to monitor.
Monitor yourself. Absolutely. And Google Alerts is what you always hear, you know, use Google Alerts. But I got to tell you, Google Alerts sometimes fails you.
Yes.
So you need to have Google Alerts. Everybody should absolutely sign up for Google Alerts. Get an alert when your name is mentioned or your brand is mentioned or anything else that you really, really care about. You get a Google Alert for it. Okay? And you can make that as it happens, daily, weekly, or I think monthly may be an option as well. But you probably want to do at least daily.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that. I even do that with Comment Love,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I'm the ambassador. So I need to know when somebody's talking about Comment Love, okay?
That's right.
So everybody, if you don't take anything else, you don't do any of this other stuff, is just way, way, way too far above your head, and you're going to have to come back to it in 3 months. Today, when you're done listening to this podcast, set up Google Alerts and just go to Google Alerts, you know, just search for it, you'll see it, and set up so that you are monitoring when you're being mentioned. And there's other tools that you can monitor with, but start off with Google Alerts.
Absolutely, because if you're not getting any feedback, I mean, if you're just looking at your Facebook likes or how many people have put you in their circles on Google Plus and things like that, those are vanity numbers in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
But you really want to look at your engagement and how many people are reading what you're putting out there. But more importantly, how many people are talking about it, how many people are engaging with it, sharing it, you know, in different places and mentioning you.
Yes. You know, and I have several ways that I monitor, but Hootsuite is one way, and if you're on Twitter, you absolutely should be monitoring your mentions.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that from the Twitter website, but it's just so much easier to do it from Hootsuite because you have columns. You know,
right?
One of your columns should always be your mentions, your at mentions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can thank people, you know, shout them out, or whatever the specific case may be. This is how I know when people are re-scooping, and how I mentioned earlier, they're re-scooping my content, and then they share it on Twitter.
And Hootsuite is a beautiful little tool.
Yes.
and it works great on mobile devices.
Yes. That's why when you mentioned mobile, that's what made me remember. Ah, I forgot to tell her about Scoop It, and Scoop It being an app on On Hootsuite.
Now, listen, we have gone all the way around the world here, but I do want to come back to YouTube just a little bit. So, but before we go, because we're going to run out of time. I mean, Miss Ellen, we could sit here and talk for hours.
Hey, I know.
So that, you know what that means. That means that you're going to have to come back on the podcast again for sure, because we've got a lot of topics to cover. Let's get back to YouTube for a couple of things, what they're doing with channels. And if you could explain to people just a little bit the difference between, you know, when you first get a channel or when you become a partner. And because there's different things available to partners,
okay,
correct?
As a partner, and what YouTube did was it used to be really, really hard to be a partner. But they changed it and about 6 months ago, and they opened it up. And one of the big advantages of being a partner is that you're able to monetize your channel. Of course, you have to have an approved AdSense account in order to do that. And I do it. I think that everybody should do it. And once you do that, you also, once you become partner, you also have the ability to upload custom thumbnails for your for your videos. And what you can do is have an attractive thumbnail so that people, when people see your video, when they're searching for something on YouTube or on Google, they will see that thumbnail. And what I like to do is have like the title of the video or whatever, so that people know exactly what that video is about. Or, you know, if there is a product or something, you just want to have a picture of that product. Let's say it's even your own product. You know, this way, because when Google, when you upload that video to YouTube, they're going to pick three different images that you can choose from. Trust me, it's never any of the ones that you want.
And it just dumbfounds me why they don't show the first frame.
No, I don't even think YouTube knows the algorithm at this point. Because, in fact, Ronnie Bencer, who I mentioned earlier, he used to have a little video that was a trick of how you could trick the system. It doesn't even work anymore.
Yeah, I found that, too, because I used to do the same thing. There was a formula to it, and you put it so many seconds here and this thing so many seconds there, and it's going to hit one of the three of them.
Yeah.
But, no, that quit working.
Right. So you want to be a partner no matter what, just, if nothing else, to be able to have your thumbnails.
Mm-hmm.
And always just, you know, keep your thumbnail relevant to the video. You don't want to have a thumbnail showing something that's attractive but not related to the video, because you don't
now,
get your account banned.
Right. And can you do branding on that? I mean, can you put your logo on it?
Yep, sure do. If you go to my channel right now, you'll see my logo is right next to the title of the video.
Right. And that's what's so important. If you keep that so consistent, and all you're doing is, you know, you can have a little backdrop that you put text on, and it can have your branding on there.
Yeah, and it's great because you can go back and do it to all your videos that you've already uploaded.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do now going forward is I always make sure that I capture that thumbnail. I prepare my thumbnail ahead of time when I'm recording the video.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put that thumbnail somewhere at some point in the video, or when I say, here's what we're going to talk about today. And even if I only show it for a second, you know, I have that as the thumbnail. And it is actually part of the video, too. Because sometimes YouTube gets a little finicky. So we don't want to have any issues with YouTube.
No. I mean, you really have to pay attention to terms of service for all of these platforms and do things the way they say do things. And they'll make you happy. Now, what about clickable links? Isn't that something new, too?
There is something new with clickable links, and it's still rolling out. But what you can do with annotations is, and an annotation, for anybody who doesn't know, is sometimes you'll be watching a YouTube video, and I'm not talking about the advertisements, but you'll see an annotation from the person who's made the video. Maybe they're talking about, oh, well, this is the video that I did before that's related to this topic. And a little shadow will pop up, and or it might say, subscribe to my channel, or here's the previous video. And you'll see a link. It'll kind of like appear maybe a little grayed out or a little highlighted. And that's what an annotation is. So with those annotations now, you can link on YouTube to other videos, to other channels, And even if you have a charity, you can link to your charity. But the newest thing that they're rolling out is, oh, wait, you can also link to your Google Plus profile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is another reason why it's good to have that connection between your Google Plus name and your Google Plus and your YouTube channel. But this latest thing is that there, once you have verified your blog with YouTube or your website, you're able to put in a clickable link back to your site.
Right.
It has to be verified. If you go to my Scoop It page, I have all those instructions there. In fact, I just scooped it yesterday. And I said, you know, I put a note there to say, as of today, which yesterday was December the 7th, I still don't have this feature. But this is how it will work, and this is what it will look like.
Well, I mean, that if people haven't got an idea yet, Google Plus is where you must have a presence, period.
You have to.
It does. I hear all kinds of excuses for not you. Like, none of my clients, it doesn't matter. You need to be posting. You need to be active. You need to have all your things integrated back to it, because that's what really counts now.
Yes, it does. It's going to count for your SEO. And now that they have rolled out communities, and for people who don't know, and it's really brand new, so I can't tell you a whole lot about them,
mm-hmm.
but it's very similar to Facebook groups. So if you've been doing Facebook marketing, you know how powerful groups are on Facebook.
Well, absolutely.
Or even LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're going to have groups in Google Plus, but they're calling them communities. So watch out, Facebook.
Yeah, no kidding, because they're public, they're private. I think there's people are starting to put their hangouts into the private ones to keep those private too. So, I mean, it's all being integrated in there, and I think it's a real power player if they can just get enough folks over to it. And I think the more ads and things that are popping up to regular users on Facebook, the more they're going to start feeling the pain and wanting to move to another site. So, you know, it's going to happen sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather be an early adopter. And I think the community thing, if people will jump on this, early adoption matters. Because they're public names. They get taken up. You're not going to have the same, like you were saying about school, it's got to have a different name. If podcasting is taken, then you get podcast.
Right.
And so early adoption is going to matter.
Yeah, I'll tell you, early. I will say that. I would definitely agree with you about the early adoption, because I was a big fan of Google Buzz, not to bring up a sore point. But, and I was really entrenched with a lot of the people that are power players now on Google Plus. So because I was an early adopter, I was into Google Buzz, I got on Google Plus immediately. I have 9,487 people have me in circles.
And it matters.
And I really didn't do that much to grow this following. But because
right.
I was there, and just to give you an example, and trust me, I'm not really bragging about the 9,400, because remember when I was talking about Lisa Irby earlier?
Uh-huh.
Well, I met Lynette Young. I actually met her in person at a meetup that was held at AWeber.
Uh-huh.
She has 1.5 million. And I thought I was going to brag about my little 9.5. And I mean, and she has something you need to hook up with that too. Man, it's called the Women of Google Plus.
Oh,
and
cool.
So yeah, it's a women's empowerment thing. Nothing against you guys, because we love you too. But but anyway, there's a lot of untapped resources in Google Plus. Get mm-hmm. yourself over. And this is what I even tell people that subscribe to my newsletter. One of the first, maybe the second email they get tells them, if nothing else, go to your Google Plus, fill out your profile. Make sure you're adding links back to all your properties, your website, your Facebook, your Twitter, your YouTube channel. Make sure you're adding all that there, okay? And if nothing else, if you leave one post on there, say, I'm here for the first time, but really, I hang out on LinkedIn. Or
right.
I hang out on Facebook. So you have a place so that if anybody ever comes to your profile, they see that you posted, and they know where to find you.
Absolutely, and it's really important to do that. That's another one of my platforms that needs an audit because things have changed and all this integration has happened. Mm-hmm. So none of this stuff is set it and forget it. Once you get it, you need to keep up, especially the ones that are the most powerful for you, and Google Plus is one of them, plus YouTube, because, you know, these are all Google things. And so, you know, it's all integrated in together, and it's the big search engines. YouTube is number two. Google's number one. YouTube is number two.
That's right.
Makes a lot of difference. Miss Adeline, thank you so much
Wow. For
coming to the podcast.
This has been so much fun.
I know the hour just flew, and we've just barely scratched the surface on everything. So you know that means you've got to come back.
Absolutely.
Now, I want to tell all the Blog Aid listeners, too, all the things that we've mentioned here, these links, we're going to be putting those into the show notes for this, so you can check right onto the blog post and find all the links for the things that we've talked about and how to get in touch directly with Miss Adeline and follow her everywhere like I do. I highly suggest that you do that.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful. And all for everybody out there, if you're blogging, keep up the good work.
Absolutely. And thanks, everybody, for listening. You can find the Blog Aid Podcast on iTunes, as well as Stitcher and BlackBerry Podcast. You can also subscribe directly to the RSS via email in the sidebar of the site. Visit blogaid.net for more tips, tutorials, and free resources to make your site better, and I'll see you online. We hope you've enjoyed this Blog Aid podcast and feel free to share it with your friends. Be sure to visit blogaid.net for more helpful podcasts, video tutorials, WordPress training, and site consulting. We specialize in helping non-geeks become successful site owners. You can also find Blog Aid on iTunes.